is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, we've been talking about marriage and how you could get your marriage to thrive. But believe it or not, the way your marriage goes from barely alive to beginning to thrive is that you build intimacy on two levels, not just that you get closer to your spouse and there's greater intimacy. You get closer to God. He stops being this distant, maybe acquaintance, and he becomes near and dear to you. That plays into the kind of marriage you will have. You're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Pastor Brad Digney, along with my wife, Vicki. And so we want to talk some more. In previous shows, I pushed, you got to pray about your marriage. You absolutely have to cry out to God about your marriage. And so, Vicki, from your perspective as a wife, how did the disappointment and the shattered dream and unmet expectations cause you to cry out to God? What did that look like?
I think initially, just knowing there is a God, he designed marriage, so therefore, he knows how this best works. But literally just having to cry out and say, God, help me know how to respond. Should I let that go? You know, love covers a multitude of sins. Is that something I need to just let go and move on? Or is this something that I see, oh, this is a pattern in his life. I see it happening with other people. I see it happening with his friends. I'm going to talk to him about that. Mm-hmm. So, and I think part of it is I just had to get over myself. I got my feelings hurt very easily. I mean, I really just had to think, okay, now is this something that I just need to let go and I should move on? Or is this something we should talk about? But that takes wisdom. That takes discernment. And I think crying out to the Holy Spirit and say, help me to see what's the next step in this? Do I just need to let it go? L-I-G, let it go. Or is this something we should sit down and discuss?
And were you aware of it at the time that, oh, I get my feelings hurt very easily?
Or, no, that's what I learned in marriage.
Okay. You found that out.
So
prior to being married, you didn't go around getting your feelings hurt.
No.
But it was happening in our marriage.
But once again, you know, I grew up with a dad that's very kind.
Yeah.
Very gentle, very loving. And then I married this man that's just like,
Mr. Command.
Mr. Command, I ain't got time for you.
Yeah.
You know, so just, I think that kind of thing. So I think crying out to God and asking, I don't have the love or the proper way to deal with conflict in my own flesh. It's just not there. So I think to really cry out and say, God, I need your Holy Spirit to know how to respond in this situation.
And what about now? We're 38 years into this. So obviously, in those first, you know, 2 to 3 years when it was so hard, so bad, so shattering, you know, no one probably had to say, hey, you probably ought to cry out to God. Mm-hmm. You did. What about now? 38 years into it, obviously God has helped us. He's taught us both a lot. We've both become more like Christ and we're leaning in and we know each other.
Right.
Is it so good living with me now that you no longer need to cry out to him about me?
No, it still needs to happen.
What?
But I will say, I think before we didn't have very many great experiences of being together and loving each other well. So I think now, after years of that, now when something happens, I try to assume the best and think, I'm sure Brad didn't mean anything by that, but wow, that really hurt my feelings. And so I kind of gauge like, okay, things still happen. But I think I'm much more quick initially to think, okay, he probably didn't mean anything by that. So I'm just going to try to say, okay, Lord, I'm moving on. Let me just give this to you. But if I can't, then I'll talk to you about it. But in general, a lot of things you just have to just let some things go. And you do the same thing for me. There's things I know that, you know, obviously we talk about you a lot and you're very humble and talk about yourself a lot. But now that I'm on here, it's nice to say, you know, there's things about me that I've just seen you let it go. You know, some things if I know it really bothers you, I've tried to work on it and vice versa. You've done the same thing with me. But a lot of things, it just helps sometimes just to let some things go. And that was a big dawning on me, whereas before it's like, no, he's got to do it just like I would do it, which is very prideful.
I think one of the biggest mistakes couples can make, and we both did it to each other, is anything about this that isn't what I would prefer, this must change. And that's how we'll have a better marriage. And so, right, I've got to tell them every time I see it because, wow, and that is a way to have a terrible marriage.
I mean, we don't do that in any other relationship. So why do we think this is going to work with marriage that we tell each other everything? It's almost like then you kind of become on a witch hunt. I'm just looking for things about him that I don't like because I've got to change him into the way I want to make him.
Don't hear what we're not saying. There's a place for sharing with your spouse appropriately. Hey, can I get your help on something? Because we're learning each other.
Right.
And so as I know things about her, then I'm like, all right, wow, that's how she's wired. That's how she's put together. Whew, I'm going to work on that. The reason we have a much better marriage is she used the phrase a couple times, we let things go. And there's a biblical precedent for that. The Bible in Proverbs, and then Peter repeats it in 1 Peter 4 in his letter, love covers a multitude of sins. The recipe for a great marriage is not you say everything to your spouse that comes to your mind that is bothering you. That's not what we're doing.
And I think a good rule of thumb for me has been, I try to let something go, but if it just keeps coming back to my mind and I'm starting to get more angry about it and more bitter, then we'll talk about it.
All right, we're talking about crying out to God, the role of prayer. You're going to have to know him and he's going to have to be real to you. Like
right.
You just can talk to him and say, God, help me, help me, help me, help me, and show me what I'm not seeing about me right now. And should I go to her and talk to her about this? Or should I go to him and ask for help? Or should I let this go? Is it a pattern? Is it repetitive? I don't want our listener to think, wow, cry out to God, cry out to God, cry out to God. Is it wrong to talk to another human being? Would it be wrong for me to meet a friend for lunch? Would it be wrong for me to meet another guy, you know, and have coffee together and say, man, here's what's going on. What about friendship?
That's a great question.
Is there a place for helpful friendship in a marriage struggle? Tell us the place for how this could help. And then in your mind as a woman, what are the dangers? How could this be less than helpful, in fact, destructive if it's not done right?
Once again, we said it before, we'll say it again. Hopefully you're a part of a body of Christ. I think, once again, I don't want to have 18 people I'm telling all my issues to, but find one or two people.
And that is key. I want you to hear what she just said. When you're hurting in your marriage, if you're not careful, you can turn every lunch with every person into, let me tell you how bad my marriage is. That's not the way to do this. Pick someone you trust that you think is ahead of you in life who actually has godly wisdom. Limit who you talk to about this.
And I think in our heart of hearts, we kind of know, okay, if I go to this person, they're just going to say, yeah, you're right. He's such a bad husband. And make sure you're going to someone who you know, even if it's something I don't want to hear, they're willing to say hard things to me and be a true friend and not let me just go along my path of self-pity.
So you're wanting to pick someone who will not just talk to you about how bad your spouse is, but will talk to you about you.
You want to have someone that's truly going to speak truth into your life. And once again, you need at least have perhaps one person like that. But then on the other side, you need to make sure that you're going to people appropriately. So if you're constantly going to someone and as soon as something happens, you're on the phone or you're texting, you know, that's not a healthy sign. It may need to take several days before you think, okay, I'm going to call my friend and see. I mean, like my sister lives in Atlanta and sometimes I'll call her and say, all right, this went down. Brad did this. I said this. He said this. And then she'll say, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but you just need to let that go. I'm like, that's not what I wanted to hear, sister.
Let me give a shout out for Nancy.
Thank you, sister.
Nancy in Georgia.
I know she's going to tell me what I need to hear, not necessarily what I want to hear. And that's a true friend.
The Bible talks about friendship. The Bible talks about one another. The Bible is filled with one another's. Encourage one another. Correct one another. Help one another. Serve one another. But I think I've watched it, and what do you think, Vicky? The world we live in now with intense, immediate connectivity.
Access.
Because of text and other social media, what's the pitfall there? What's the danger? How perhaps have you seen this connectivity and ability to immediately connect with another human being? How do you think maybe that's kept people from crying out to God?
That's a great question. And I think, I mean, what I try to practice, I don't always do it perfectly, but when you and I have a conflict, my first thought is, I'm going to call my friend and tell her what Brad just did. And I really try to make myself wait 3 or 4 or 5 hours to say, you know what? I just want to vent and I just want to talk badly about Brad. That's not really So I usually try to wait 4 or 5 hours because a lot of times the Lord's saying like, no, you don't need to call her. Mm. You need to talk to me. You need to talk to me. Mm. So, but because once again, we can text, we can pick up the phone and call. We used to have to pay long distance. You know, you don't have to do that anymore. Long distance calls are free. So we have such immediate access that it is tempting sometimes.
Right.
Two things. I just want to run to this friend and then I know they're going to take my side.
Right.
And it's kind of like self-pity. Like, I want them to feel bad for all the things I'm going through. And that's not helpful.
Because some of it boils down to what is it you're actually wanting in this moment?
True.
If you just want pity, text the friend.
Right.
You know when you cry out to God, He certainly cares. He is compassionate. He is merciful.
He
is good. He loves you more than anyone in this world. But He's also going to speak truth to you.
Right.
And I do think sometimes it's the truth part we don't want to hear. Right. I don't want to hear anything about me. I just want someone to say, oh.
Because it is painful.
Yeah.
You think of yourself in a better light than you truly are. And once again, we've said it before, nothing has exposed me like marriage.
Yeah.
Because you live at such close quarters and there's constant problems.
All right. We're talking about crying out to God and yet having a place for friendship that's helpful, but never to the exclusion of now, I don't even know how to turn to God. We're going to take a break and we come back. We're going to dig in a little more. What does crying out to God look like in the life of a young wife with kids? And then as you progress through seasons of life, what would crying out to God look like over the years?
And you're listening to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney and his wife, Vicki, where they've been talking about how intimacy with God transforms marriages. And today's conversation about the power of crying out to God, if that resonates with you, let me recommend The Practice of Godliness by Dr. Jerry Bridges. That's a game changer. I know I talk about that resource probably more than the others, but this is a foundational book that shows you how spending time with God is not just a spiritual discipline. It's actually the key to transforming every relationship in your life, especially in your marriage. It's The Practice of Godliness. It's by Dr. Jerry Bridges, and it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And you know what's amazing? I was thinking this week, this ministry, well, Fortis Institute is new, but the bones, the foundation was Wretched Radio and Wretched TV. Been around for 25 years this year, and we've been watching God transform lives through His Word for over 25 years. We have seen so much in 25 years, and we want to thank you for being a part of all of the transformation that's taken place over 25 years here with Wretched, now with Fortis Institute. That's why we're inviting you to join us on this mission, to stick alongside of us. When you become a gospel partner with Fortis Institute, you're helping us reach more couples who need to hear that there is hope, who need to hear that God cares about their marriage and wants to transform it from the inside out. Your partnership helps us create resources like this podcast where couples can find practical biblical guidance for their relationships. And here's something else. We do encourage you to prioritize giving to your local church first. If you're strapped by unmanaged debt, if you're not able to give the way that you want to give to your local church, don't consider joining us as a gospel partner. We do want you to join us as a gospel partner, but not at the expense of stewarding God's money well. You should be giving to your local church first. You should not be a slave to the lender. Once you get those areas of your life taken care of, then come back and start to consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just visit fortisinstitute.org right now to learn more about what it would look like in your life to come aboard and join us as a gospel partner. Now let's get back to Pastor Brad Bigney and his wife, Vicki, as they continue to share some practical wisdom about making time with God a priority in every season of life. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we're talking about your marriage and how it would begin to thrive instead of just barely staying alive. And part of that is that you were created in the image of God and you desperately need connection and intimacy and relationship with God as much or more than you need relationship with your spouse. Both are right, and both feed into each other, but we gotta sometimes keep it clear and not get it confused or tangled up that, am I crying out to God? And so, Vicky, you're now a grandma, a nana. Oh, happy times, a nana. But you started off as a young wife, and then young wife pretty quickly with little kids. We're talking about crying out to God, making time to know Him and cry out to Him. How were you able to do this when you had young kids? And why did you even think you should? Why not just say,
early on, too busy for that? Was so going so poorly, and I learned to spend time with the Lord and try to hear from Him for help. I just knew I can't survive without that. And we ended up having 5 children, which is wonderful, but I think, I mean,
it just happened?
Yeah. Ended up, here they are, 5 kids.
Oh, there they are.
I did the math one time, and I think we had children in our home for 32 years. So that's a long time. So I knew I can't just put my spiritual life and my time with Jesus on hold. But I mean, I'll be honest, it was challenging. It really was challenging. And I mean, for me, I know people have it. You can meet with Jesus every day at 12 or 9 o'clock at night. For me, morning's just best. If it's not in the morning, it just didn't seem to happen. Yeah. Once again, I don't have a Bible verse for that, except early will I see.
You shot for the morning.
Yeah, I shot for the morning. And it looked very different.
And what were you trying to do, and how long does it need to take? Because I think sometimes people, depending on personality, can have such an idea of what it's supposed to look like. And if they think, I can't do it just like that, then I won't do it.
I mean,
at
obviously,
all.
When I was single,
what did it look like?
I had more time. Now that I'm a mom, sure. Except we have 5 children. So I think I like to say it this way, Brad, a little time with Jesus is better than no time at all. So I think we had these ideals of, oh, I'm going to spend 45 minutes and I'm going to memorize scripture like I did when I was, in my 20s. I'm going to have a journal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to have a commentary. I mean, that's just not going to happen. Let's be realistic.
Yeah.
That's great. But then if you have all those expectations, what ends up happening is none of it. You think, I don't have time to do that. Mm-hmm. So you just don't. So I'd say, two things. I'd also just say, find something that really you find works for you. So, I mean, you can look forward to.
You can look forward to it. Yeah,
right.
If it's something you
it's
dread.
Too cumbersome.
I think I'm supposed to
I'll just
therefore I just
perfectly honest here. Brad and I do very different things for our quiet time. Always have. So I like to start my quiet time with some type of a devotional and read that. It just kind of helps my mind transition. Right now I'm going through a book on hymns and the history of them and how they came about. And then I'll sing the hymn or I'll read it out loud. So, and then go into my regular Bible time. I think right now I'm using the John MacArthur Daily Bible.
So it's a Bible that's set up to where it tells you what to read that day. So there's a date and it gives
Old
you
Testament,
what? A little bit of the Old Testament,
Psalms
a little bit
Proverbs.
Of new, a little bit of.
Right.
But even then, hasn't it been that because of the demands on your life and time that you've taken that daily Bible that's telling you you should read 2 chapters in the Old Testament, 1 chapter in the New, a little Psalm, a little Proverb?
So what I do is I just keep, it'll say, today is, January 1st, you should be here. I'm never where it says I should be. I just have a bookmark. And then I might read, that day I read Isaiah 7, when it was really speaking to me, I just stopped right there. And I just praised God and talked to Him about it. Yeah, you're allowed to do that. Because really,
can you do that?
You're more
God will
concerned
bless you?
About getting something and having a word from the Lord for the day instead
That's
of,
right.
I just read 3 chapters. Exactly.
The goal isn't, did I get through all the required reading for today? I hope you're hearing, the goal is time with God, knowing Him.
And I will have to say, I know you don't want to hear it. I didn't really want to do it, but it just ended up not happening. So I did have to set my timer and get up, my alarm. And I had to get up at least 15 minutes early before the kids did. Because once they were all up, it just all hit the fan. It's just impossible.
And then let me give a word to guys that might be listening with young wives and kids. I quickly realized, because we keep saying this, your vertical relationship with God hugely impacts your horizontal relationships, starting with those closest to you. I realized one of the best things I could do for Vicky that was good for our marriage is for me to lean in and help with the kids so that she could meet with God. Too often I find guys are quick to say real biblical things. Well, honey, you need to have time with the Lord. Make sure you prioritize that. That's really important. But they're not willing to do anything to help her have that time with the Lord. He still has his own coffee time. He heads off to work. Now, I know jobs are different, but I sense that today there's a lot more flexibility with jobs than there used to be. A lot of guys work from home. A lot of guys have flex hours. If there is any way that you can help her by you taking morning time with the kids to free her up, it is well worth it. And so we had no church building. My church office was in the home. And so our arrangement was I got the kids up and I did the first stuff with the kids. Got them going I didn't do breakfast, but I started right off with the time with them. Got them on their chores. And then I met with them in the living room. It was short. You know, they're young and they're of various ages. But I did a 12, 15 minute, quote, family time with the kids, where I would just try to think of different things to do with the Bible and maybe sing a song, maybe not, maybe memorize a verse. But the dad, Brad, spent time with the kids first, and that afforded Vicky uninterrupted, because those of you that have had kids or have them now know, it doesn't matter how hard you work to get up before them, they're up. And especially with a mom, it's relentless. Mom! 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 Well, if you want her to meet with the Lord, do what you can to meet with the kids so that she can meet with the Lord.
And I would say to that too, and if you don't have a husband that's doing that, still seek to try to spend time with Jesus, because that's really crucial to your doing well in life.
Yep. So over the years, how has that shifted or changed at all? But mainly, because life, our enemy still would love for us to not do this. What is the biggest challenge and temptation that can keep you from spending necessary time with God? You don't have young kids now. But do you still find if you're not careful, you just shift and drift? And
I mean, obviously, it's greatly helped me, because now if I don't meet with Jesus, it's on my own time. You know, I mean, that's my own fault.
But it doesn't mean it's automatically easy,
I'll
does it?
I'll get up and there's a text saying, hey, can I call you about my daughter that's not doing well? I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll talk to you. But then if I'm not careful, I'll say, hey, why don't we meet at 11?
Or it's one of our adult daughters calling. Hey,
right.
Mom.
Someone FaceTimes me, you know, to see the new grandbaby. Yes, I want to see that. So I think once again, it's just making that commitment that probably before I leave this home today, I need to have spend time with the Lord. Because otherwise, mm-hmm. you just get so busy and your day starts going. And mm-hmm. once again,
so you're still shooting for morning?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And now it is nice. I can just get a cup of hot tea, have my time. It's quiet. No one's interrupting me. But there, mm-hmm. to be honest, there's still that challenge of, I got to make time to do this. Or if I don't, it's just life starts happening. Yeah. People are coming over. It doesn't happen again.
And the main, would you say, because it's what I see in my own life, that main challenge and temptation is all found on one small square device that is right near at hand, the phone.
I mean, I got to play my words with friends. That's important.
Well, words with friends, text, email. I'll just answer this email real quick.
Yes.
I'll just add this word to Wordle real quick.
I'm going to throw a load of laundry in the washing machine.
And before you know it, the morning has frittered away. Now, we're not TV people, but I will say, that's a challenge. If you're starting your day by turning the TV on and it's like, we've already got Good Morning America going, we've got Fox News, we've got other things, before you know it, it just isn't going to happen.
But I would say, like you said, it's our phone.
Yeah, I think phone is the biggest.
It is for me.
So just keeping it a priority and thinking, it doesn't matter what season I'm in, I need God.
Right.
I need to be crying out to Him. I need to be in relationship with Him, and I need to hear from Him through His Word. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make this a priority, whether I'm a young mom, mom of teenagers, mom of young adults. Would you say that the heart temptations are still there to be fearful? You were fearful in one way when they were little. You were fearful another way when they were teens. Right. You're fearful now.
I mean, to be honest, adults. It's just bigger things.
Yeah. The older they get, right. The bigger the fears.
Right, right. So once again, I need to regularly be hearing from the Lord to see what's he got to say about this.
We're talking about Thrive. You're listening to Thrive. And I'm your host, Pastor Brad Bigney, with my wife, Vicki. And we've been talking about you've got to know God, not just seek to know your spouse. These two things are related. Crying out to God is essential in moving your marriage from barely alive to thrive.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.